Hare Krishna, we will now start our Bhagavad Gita class. The title of my class is The Mind, the Best Friend or the Fiercest Enemy. Another comment I would like to make before I start is a comment regarding arriving to a spiritual program. There are three types of arrival. Arrival in the mode of goodness or sattva-gun. Arrival in the mode of rajas or passion. And arrival to a spiritual program in the mode of ignorance. Arrival in the mode of sattva is when I know the program starts, let us say, at 7 o'clock. So I will arrive 2 minutes before 7 and then find a good seating place, settle peacefully in the hall, fix my mind on a spiritual gathering. That's in the mode of goodness. Arrival to a program in the mode of rajas is I run in my car. I'm totally excited and I usually come just in time. I mean, the program has already started and I come 30 seconds later. I'm totally excited, upset by the mode of passion. I just made it. And I have great difficulties to concentrate on the lecture because I am already in the mode of passion. Now, arrival in the mode of tamas, which is what most of you have done today, is you know the program starts at 7 o'clock, but you just don't make the right time. Your time planning is totally out of synchronicity and you come 10 minutes, 15 minutes too late. And you come, you somehow find your place. You are not really at the place. You are distraught. This is arrival in the mode of tamas. Hare Krishna. Have you understood me? Your Hare Krishna is so religious. Have you understood that there are three types of arrival? So please, next time, when there is a spiritual gathering, plan your time. It's called time planning, so that you can arrive 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes earlier. Then you can happily situate yourself, look at the place, maybe situate your mind properly that, oh yes, I'm now hearing Krishna's words. And then you get most out of it. If you come in rajas or in tamas, it is not the good starting point for spiritual reception of spiritual knowledge. Spiritual life is so important, my dear devotees of Delhi. But this town, Delhi, puts such a rajasic atmosphere into our mind. And after rajas, what comes after rajas? Tamas. You have been excited, upset, moving very hard the whole day, being disturbed and distracted. And then in the evening, you just want to eat or listen to the one-eyed guru. The one-eyed guru is the television. It has only one eye. Or you want to eat, or you just want to make this activity which starts with S and has an E in the middle and an X at the end. Tamagun. Please, for spiritual events, we should try to do things sattvically. So after having said this, I will most probably not be invited again in Delhi. But But it doesn't matter. The truth must be said so that we can all benefit very nicely. I wanted to now discuss a very, very important subject matter. It's in the sixth chapter of the Gita text. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes, this was very good, but it was not in one voice. Please concentrate a little bit more. Give it your best. Maybe you want to fold your hands before the chest. Concentrate on the Lord Vasudev in your heart. And listen and then respond in one voice. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Wonderful. Thank you very, very much for chanting so wonderfully. Lord Krishna says in the sixth text of the sixth chapter, the translation, for him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, like most people in Delhi. Sorry. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, the purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga, for sure, is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission are spoiled. If you have not controlled the mind, you live with an enemy. It's almost like living with a snake in the corner of your room. And thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. When the mind is conquered or controlled or peaceful, then you happily or voluntarily agree to follow the dictations of the Lord in the heart. That means you will actually hear God in the heart telling you, do this, and then you will know what is your mission in life. Unless God tells you, you can never be sure that you live the best life. So, real yoga practice entails entails means like means or includes. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. Please chant with me. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashadi Govakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sisi Gounitai ki, Sisi Radha Pata Sharati ki, Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. You have the choice. Do you wish to live with the mind as a friend who helps you to reach your goal in your life? Or do you wish to live with the most powerful entity who constantly acts against your self-interest? It is really up to you to make this choice, just like it's up to you to make the choice to switch off your mobile telephone. Hare Krishna. Please do so. Exercise some self-control. For half an hour, this little monster can be silent. The mind, when not controlled, can so easily, my dear devotees, create fear to us, insecurities. Prabhupada spoke about desires which all of a sudden come in the mind and make you crazy. You feel you have to follow the desires unless your life becomes very bad. The mind is constantly engaged with the objects of the world by a process which is called in Sanskrit sankalpa and vikalpa. It accepts things and it rejects things. Oh, I like this. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, this person looks attractive. Oh, this person looks unattractive. Oh, this is too hot. This is too cold. Too many mosquitoes. Not enough mosquitoes. The mind is constantly engaged with the world. And even in the night, it is calling us and making our lives difficult. When I was a little boy, my father, who was, how can you say it in English, the director of the German railway, once came home in the evening and told us something which I can never forget. It is an illustration and an example how powerful the uncontrolled mind is. There was a technician who wanted to repair the cooling aggregate in one of these train wagons. Do you know what is a train wagon? And it was a train wagon which was supposed to carry sabjis and other things which needed to be cool so that they could arrive and at the destination and still be fresh. So this technician, repaired the cooling aggregate. It's something like a refrigerator. And then one man closed the door of the wagon. So the technician knew that he had only 6 hours to live. Because if it's very cold in a cooling wagon, after 6 hours the human organism stops and the person dies. After 7 hours, this is what my father told us, little boys, the wagon was opened and the technician was seen dead on the floor. His body had bluish spots, that is, the circulation had not come there. And he showed all the symptoms of someone who has frozen to death. Now, what was also found out is, just listen to this very carefully, it was very warm, actually, in the wagon, because the refrigerator didn't work. And there was very nice fresh breezes in the air in the wagon. It was biologically and physically impossible for someone to freeze to death because this was warm and nice. But because the technician thought in his mind, it is very cold and I will die from the cold atmosphere. He died, not because of the cold, because of the mind. Correct. Thoughts. You know everything. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, this is how powerful the mind is. Everything in your life can be perfectly all right. But because the mind associates with troubles and problems and disunity, you live in hell. It's the mind is like a monkey. You can, when you look at a monkey, you sometimes have to laugh, isn't it? Do we have monkeys in Delhi or only in Vrindavan? Some are available in Delhi. Good. When you look at the monkey and you laugh, what does the monkey think? The monkey doesn't think you are friendly and you're laughing. The monkey thinks you're showing him your teeth as a sign of aggression, and by the power of the mind of the monkey thinks you are his enemy and he will attack you. It's only the mind, the monkey mind, which interprets like this. So we all have a monkey mind. It sits on our shoulders and constantly talks to us. Even while I'm giving this lecture to you, your mind will talk about 30,000 times to you. That's the estimated way the thoughts come. by modern psychology gives this example. So the mind is really, when it's not under control, entity which brings us into anxiety and which most importantly separates us from Krishna. There is one example of one typical modern phenomena which is especially there in a town like Delhi. The mind becomes associated with the mode of passion. In other words, you passionately want, you desire something, and you desire it very strongly, and when you don't get it, you become angry. Correct. The mind becomes very angry. Now, the moment a person becomes angry, that same moment his body produces a very bad poison. They have made experiments where an angry person who was angry for 10 minutes only had to blow his breath on some glass, and then the condensate was scraped off and given to a little animal. They call them guinea pigs. And my dear devotees, that breath, in this breath was so much poison that the poor guinea pig died. Now when a person is angry for 1 hour, his body produces enough poison to kill 80 small guinea pigs. Hare Krishna. This happens very often when you are in the Delhi traffic. You produce, with the anger which is there in the disturbed mind, so much poison, which poisons your whole body and your whole life, and you are stressed out, and you are, as a result, and very, very, very incapable of concentrating on your Krishna consciousness, because a rajasic mind, a stressed mind, has very great difficulties to peacefully chant, to read in the holy scriptures, and so on. To think that when I'm angry, I will really harm the other person is as foolish as to think by drinking a glass of poison, I will harm the other person, not me. No, when you are angry, you are harming yourself. You're destroying yourself. You're creating physical and mental poison. How do we say poison in Hindi? Yeah, vish, yes. I know it as vish, yes. Yes, and zenon, huh? Yes. Yes. So, when we are very serious in our spiritual life, we have to learn to conquer the mind and make it our friend. There is a general principle how you can make the mind the friend. And this general principle is called in Sanskrit sangha or association. With association, I do not mean at this moment association with people, but I mean association with a substance. Let me give you an example. This glass is at the moment cool. So I'm pouring now very hot water in it. Can you see? There is a vapor. Now by the association with this hot water, the cool glass becomes very hot. So the mind also changes its temperature, if you so want, or its quality, by the principle of association. For instance, if I associate with my mind with a spiritual sound vibration like the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then by the association of the spiritual vibration, the Hare Krishna vibration, my mind will become peaceful and spiritual. This, however, only works if you learn to chant properly and do not chant like most of the people associated with the Hare Krishna mantra. Most of the people chant improperly. That means their mind is not there where the sound is. They think of the family duties, maybe of the exam, or they are just dull in the mind. But if you can chant and be fully attentive to the sound vibration, at that time the sound vibration, by the principle of association, will move your mind in a spiritual way. Now I would like to make an experiment with you. I would like to chant with you and request you to be fully present with each one of the syllables of the Maha Mantra. The easiest way is when you bring already your full concentration to the first Hare, and then Krishna, and then stay with your mind at the Krishna, then go to the Hare with your mind, then with the Krishna. And I would like to do this with you by helping you with a simple exercise first, where you will relax a little. Please sit properly. That means straight in your seat. Straight means your spine should be in one line, not like this. Very good. Now, kindly, when you are ready, close your eyes. And concentrate your mind on your breathing. As you breathe in, imagine that a little line pulls your body up and straightens you. Whenever you breathe in, sit a little bit straighter. And whenever you breathe out, relax your shoulder and your whole body. Breathe for a few times, please. And be totally aware of the incoming breath and the outcoming breath. By becoming aware of your breath, you will calm your mind and withdraw it from all the rajasic influences which have worked on you throughout the day. Now I request you to listen as I chant one time alone the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna. Oh, I have said you should listen, not chant. Just listen, not chant. You will chant in a moment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please now chant with me in the same speed, not much speedier.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Very good. Now bring your mind into the sound. In other words, with your mind fully present, chant the Hare Krishna mantra together with me in the same speed for a few mantras. It's very important now that you bring your mind into the sound and connect it with the sound. The mind should not be with the breathing. The mind is just with the mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Now, when you are comfortable, please slowly open your eyes and return to room awareness. Have you noticed that some of us immediately began to cough? Do you know what this coughing is? It has nothing to do with the atmosphere, the dry air. It's just the body relaxes and the mind relaxes, and as a result, that stress which is within you becomes released and you start to because most of the people are in this age so much under the control of a rajasic influence in their mind, a passionate influence, especially in a town like Delhi, that we are just totally, you know, passionate. The principle which we are learning here is that by association, the mind changes. A little while ago, I was invited to a peace conference. There were many, many politicians who had spoken about peace. And then my turn came to also address the full assembly. And I said, well, we in the Vedic tradition feel that you must first have individual peace, a peaceful individual, then you have peace between two people. And if you have peace between the people, you can have peace between communities. And when communities are peaceful, you can have that so much dreamt for world peace. And I said, I would like to give you an example. And I did the simple
exercise which I did with you, I asked them to relax a little by becoming aware of their breath, and then I invited them to chant the mantra. And afterwards, the room was very, very peaceful. Some of them started to cough, like some of you, because they relaxed and the tension went. But then I said, when the hall was totally peaceful, now can you think of making war? And they said, no, Swamiji, no, it works. Individual peace is necessary in order to have interpersonal peace and an intercommunal peace and then world peace. So anyways, what I showed them and what I wanted to show you this evening is that the mind, by association with another transcendental quality, changes. Just like the temperature of the glass changes by association with hot water, your life can change if you have contact with a Hare Krishna mantra. But, and I want to say again, but, don't chant like most of the chanters nowadays. Most of the chanters have no idea what they are doing. It's so sad to see that sometimes also Hare Krishna congregational members don't know how to chant. When your mind is somewhere else and your tongue is here, there is no benefit. In fact, you make offenses against the holy name by producing pramada. Pramada in Sanskrit means inattention, it means also craziness. Imagine, my dear devotees, I invite Jita Mitra. Imagine I invite Jita Mitra to come to Germany. It's a long way. I've written him many invitation letters. I have helped him to get a German visa. And then he comes finally to our project Goloka Dham, and I'm not there. I have a note. Jita Mitra, I'm not there. Wouldn't that be, first of all, inconsistent? I've invited him and now I'm gone. Second of all, wouldn't that be highly offensive? You know, he has come all the way, and then I'm not there. My dear devotees, this is what some of us do when we chant Hare Krishna. We are simply not there. We're somewhere else. In business dealings, we think of friends and enemies. What did he say yesterday? And what did he really mean when he said this? We are simply absent-minded. And in this way, we just cannot derive the benefit. So another way to make the mind a friend by association is, if you read in scriptures. Now, if you want to read in scriptures, holy scriptures, you should read like the Chakravaki bird, like the swan, and like the parrot. How does the Chakravaki bird is? What is his quality? Well, the Chakravaki bird, is he called Chakravaki? Maybe you have to help me. It's a bird who never drinks water from the ground. It will always fly to the cloud. What is his name? Chatak. The Chatak. The Chatak has made this vow. No water from the puddles of water. He will fly towards the cloud and he will make this sound. Priya, Priya, my dear, give me water. So when you read, you should learn this quality. Don't engage your mind any longer with the earthly things, with the ground things. Go with your mind deeply into the subject matter. Maybe you stop sometimes when you read and you meditate about a sentence. Like real bhakti yoga practice means meeting the Lord within the heart and then following his dictation. Let's stop there. Let us not quickly continue. Let us put the book a little to the side. The real yoga practice means I meet God in my heart. Wonderful. I listen to him. Oh, nectar. And I follow his dictation. So when you read like this, you are like the chatak bird. You go right into the transcendental subject matter and you are no longer interested in the things of the world. You're not interested in television. You're not, for that moment while you read, you're just with the Shastra. Or it says you must read like the swan. The swan can always extract the essence. If you have water, a mixture of water and milk, what does the swan do? It just drinks the milk. It leaves the water because the milk is the essence. So when you read the Shastra, you should find out what does it say here? What is what Krishna tells me here? What is the essence of this shloka? The essence of this shloka is make the mind the friend. Yes, Vidura Priya. No problem. Santosh is required. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes. So you need to be a reader like the swan. Extract the essence, the essential meaning of the Shastra. No? And you should be a reader like the parrot. Now, I read this in Skanda Purana a little while ago. And the parrot is known for not speaking too much. I must say, I could never understand this because when we were at Govardhan and did our Govardhan seminars, there were these parrots and they always spoke too much. But apparently the parrot is not speaking too much. That's how he is known. So when you read in the scripture, in the scriptures, be silent, be with the subject matter. And then when you put the Shastras apart, don't talk too much. The tongue has no spine. It says sometimes things which bring you in a lot of trouble. Big wars have started because of uncontrolled tongues who just spoke too much. So someone, my point here is the mind can be tamed and brought under control by association with the holy name. That was one department. And then with the other, the mind can be brought under control by associating with the wisdom and the knowledge of the Shastras. A third way to bring the mind and make it nice is when you come together like here, and we have sadhu sangha, we have association amongst like-minded devotees of Lord Krishna. And then the devotee will influence your heart by his, what is in his heart. Have you ever felt when you were meeting someone, this person is from the first moment of our meeting very sympathetic to me? Have you heard this? Have you felt this? And have you felt also when you saw someone, he didn't even speak to you, but you feel, oh, this person is so unsympathetic. I really don't want to speak with him. I hope he doesn't come too close and ask me for my name. You know, have we felt this? In India, we is this allowed to speak about this in India, or should we not speak about it? This intuitive feeling of sympathy and antipathy. This happens, as far as the Vedas are concerned, in the Anahata Chakra, the heart region. We feel sympathy and antipathy here. We feel it almost physically. Now, when we are together with sadhus, we also feel something in our heart. And that is that our own spiritual qualities begin to manifest. Each one of you is full of knowledge, full of eternity, and full of bliss. These are like three strings, almost resonating strings, which are here. Since time immemorial, these strings don't play music any longer, because we have been so long in association with the material energy. Now, when we come in contact with a sadhu, or with sadhus, or spiritually minded devotees of the Lord, then this spiritual qualities, which are like resonating strings, begin to resonate, move, and we feel enthusiastic for spiritual life. I met a very nice devotee who lives in Delhi, who told me that sometimes I'm not so enthusiastic. I have enough time, but I'm not so enthusiastic to practice Krishna consciousness. You know why this is so? Your spiritual strings, so to say, your spiritual qualities are not moving any longer. They are almost like in the material association, they are so dead-like. Now, if you have association with the sadhu, they begin to move again. And after some time, if you have good association amongst yourself, bhakti, vriksha programs, come to the temples, meet devotees, and don't talk about cell phones and hundi cars and what else is garam masala and different recipes. Talk about spiritual things while you have association, and you will find out how your spiritual qualities in association with others begin to work in you and move in you. See, all these three things, chanting the holy name, reading in scriptures, and having association, have one thing in common. They bring us in contact with Krishna. And the moment we are in contact with Krishna, my dear devotees and my dear skeptics, our mind changes. Just like a glass in contact with hot water will become hot, our mind in contact with Krishna through his holy name, through the holy scriptures, through the sadhu sangha, will immediately take wonderful qualities. And the proof of this is in Vrindavan. Kalia, the Kalia snake, Have you heard about Kaliya? It's my favorite Krishna Leela. Kaliya was so poisonous that the whole Yamuna became so absolutely poisonous that vapors emanated from the Yamuna, and birds who just flew over the Yamuna and who were breathing in this poisonous fumes were just falling dead on the ground. All the trees died, all the grass died. Now one day, it was Balaram's birthday, he stayed home. It was very hot, and Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and the cows went to the Yamuna. Because it was so hot, they felt so thirsty that they drank and immediately fell down dead. When Krishna arrived at the spot and saw his cows and the cowherd boyfriends dead from the poison of this snake which lived in the Yamuna, he glanced at them. And just by the glance of God, they were revived. Here we have one learning point. When you come to Radhapata Sharati on the altar, it's not so important that you see the deities. It's more important that the deities of Krishna see you. You know everything. Because by the glance of Krishna, you can become spiritually enlivened. Hare Krishna. The idea of darshan is not so much that you see, but that Krishna sees you. Therefore, dress properly, bring a present, and allow how that Krishna looks at you. That will change your whole day. So, then Krishna jumped into the Yamuna. We will give the devotees a chance to talk undisturbed. Please finish your talk. No need. Okay. So then Krishna jumped in the Yamuna and he made noise. It is described when Krishna swam, he made very sweet music. I don't know if you have in India when you can play on the water. Krishna played wonderful ragas as he was swimming and agitating Kaliya so much that Kaliya jumped on Krishna and enveloped him in his coils, and he wanted to kill Lord Krishna. But Krishna simply he waited 2 hours. His devotees were almost dead from anxiety when they saw him. And finally Krishna said with a sweet smile, "Now you have shown me your strength, Kaliya. Now I will show you my strength." And he began to expand and break the coils of Kaliya, and he swam on the Yamuna, so much so that Kaliya began chasing him, trying to get hold of him. Finally, Krishna just took the Kaliya snakes, the heads, the thousands of heads, jumped on them and started to dance. And as he started to dance, tum, tum, rum, 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 he hit the demon on the head. His beautiful red feet were illuminated by the red rubies on Kaliya's head. There was a beautiful red effulgence all of a sudden. But Krishna danced so hard that all the poison came out. More and more and more. Kalia spit poison until when all the poison had left him, he could understand Krishna is on my head. My dear devotees, I think sometimes in our lives also some poison needs to come out. Krishna, when we chant, he dances on our tongue. And as a result, our bad qualities, anger, greed and illusion, will come out. We had a japa retreat. Maybe next year some of you would like to come and join us. We went on a sacred hill, Vilasga, and we chanted 64 rounds on that day. And some of us experienced how so many illusory things came to the surface of the mind. So much poison came out. But afterwards, we felt very relieved and very free. So I see that some of you are getting nervous now. Time is also there, and Delhi has a lot of things to demand. Delhi wants our time. So I will end my class here. I will just summarize to you the points so that you take something with you. You can make the mind the friend if you learn the principle of Sangha. Sangha means association with Krishna. And association with Krishna can be done through the chanting, it can be done through the reading, and it can be done through the sadhu sangha. It is my great hope that all of you will make your minds your best friends. After this lecture, you should all enter the friendship program and make the mind the friend. He will be very happy if you pacify him, because ultimately the mind is in the mode of goodness. Only by contacting the passionate influence from the intelligence, which makes all his plans, the mind becomes disturbed and uncontrolled. And sometimes when we start our spiritual life, we may therefore have to feel how some dirty things within the heart have to come out first. Some poison has to leave us. I thank you very, very much. I'm personally extremely encouraged being here in this daily project. I visited with Vidura Priya Prabhu the exposition. I was very much impressed. I'm now here in this auditorium, and although it's a little bit like a train station atmosphere, people coming in and out, it's still a wonderful group of devotees who has come this afternoon or this evening to this program. From my heart of hearts, I wish you all the best, and please visit Vrindavan. We just come from Vrindavan. We are very, very enlivened and very happy in our minds by the wonderful influence of the Holy Dham. I will unfortunately leave you tomorrow at something around 4 o'clock. I will go to Germany, where there's so high snow now. But I'm sure by the wonderful inspiration which I have gotten in Vrindavan and which I've gotten in your wonderful temple here in Delhi, I will melt all the stone, all the snow. I think we should end here. Thank you. You are the security man. Should we have Veda Vyas Priya is your name, or Krishna Priya. Do we still have time for questions, or do you have ants in your dhotis and trousers and saris? This means you're a little passionate, you want to go. We have time? Those of you who have no more time, please don't feel obliged to stay. But I will now answer some of your questions. I'm very excited to spend a few more minutes. Hare Krishna Chaitamrita. Hari Bol. So, please ask your question, Krishna Priya.
Maharaj, like we go out for preaching and then we meet people who are not devotees. They are involved in their own work. So we cannot go directly and start Krishna Katha. So how to deal with it? Because when we go, we have to start other things also. We have to talk other things also. So that way,
Yes, I believe Prabhupada has given a very nice example. When he came to America, he met one Professor Larson in the Slippery Rock College, and he visited that college, and Professor Lars met him, and later, maybe 40 years later, Professor Larson remembered how Prabhupada spoke to him. Professor Larson would say, for instance, a thing like, look, Swamiji, here are American oak trees. And he started to speak about the American oak tree. Prabhupada said, yes, in Vrindavan we also have trees like Kadamba, Tamal trees. Oh, says Professor Larson, very interesting. What are these trees? Yeah, the Kadamba flower is a little round. It smells like good perfume. And do you know the best thing? Under these Kadamba trees, the Goswamis used to live. And so he would go from the trees to the Goswamis. And I believe that's the art of preaching to people. You first have to make contact. And daily, most probably, they will talk about money. It's the richest town in India, I have heard now. And about pollution, they will talk a lot. And what else? Movies. Yeah. So you talk, yes, the movies. Oh, when I was a child, I also saw a movie. You know, it was about a man a girl who was married to a man, but she didn't love that man, and she loved really another man. And I hear this is the same subject in all the Indian movies, even today. See, this is an example of chewing the chewed. You know, so you go from one subject and you go to another subject, you know, like that. This is an art. But you have to start at the level of the person, where the persons are to whom you speak. Hare Krishna. Krishna Priya. He who is dear to Lord Krishna. Are there other questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna. Actually, my question is that you said that this glass, when it comes in contact with the hot water, then it tastes the temperature of that. So this is dead matter, no? So it has got no like feeling, no emotion, no mind also. But in case of mind, like we are the living entity, so we have got, you know, like the desire, like what we can even what we can discard. So here, in case of this dead material, it has got no option also, you know. Then it has to take. But in case of mind, it is living. Right?
And it can reject or accept.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't. It's not forced to take.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonderful question. Thank you very, very much. Have you understood his question? Yes, it's perfectly clear or? Good. See, there is something in the mind which is very, very deep and which controls all the functions of the mind. The mind wants to find pleasure because this is our natural position. We want to find pleasure and we want to avoid pain. So the mind will always accept that which looks more pleasurable to it. It has, in a way, no other chance because this is how it works. So when the mind, when you show your mind some pleasurable activity, it will be forced by its pleasure-seeking nature to accept it. It's almost, you know, when you see someone enjoying a sweet, then your mind will immediately think, I want to also enjoy like that. This is the whole idea of the advertisement. You know, they show some most beautiful and most sparsely dressed Indian girl, not enough money has been given to the dress, who enjoys phony, you know, brushing her teeth with this particular brand of tooth cream. And then you feel, oh, I want to enjoy also life. Maybe I should get this tooth cream. That's the principle of the advertising industry. So Krishna talks about this principle that when you give a person a higher taste, he will accept it because he will be driven by his pleasure-seeking nature. So somehow or other, you have to show your mind the higher pleasurable activities of spiritual life. And once you are successful in living a life where your mind is attracted to, where you can actually experience higher pleasure, your mind will be forced to accept that because it works. Like Anandamaya Vyasat, the living entity is full of bliss and it always looks for that. It's the drive, so to say, the motor of the mind. Preachers in Krishna consciousness have to learn to present Krishna consciousness so attractively that everyone will be just have no other choice than, oh, they seem to be enjoying. Let me also try. So when you want to bring your mind to Krishna consciousness, you have to learn to create spiritual attractions for your mind. Like, for instance, we spent 2 weeks in the holy Dham and just engaging in Krishna Katha, and our mind is so captured by this, doesn't want to go back to the material world. It can't go because it has made a higher taste. So like this. We are not so free in our mind as we think we are. There are some driving motors, some driving forces. And the mind will always seek pleasure and therefore accept that. I hope that was a good answer. You said the mind is a living thing and can choose what he wants to accept and what he does not want to accept. But this is not entirely correct also. When you, even if the mind is unwilling, subjected to spiritual sound vibration, it will leave its influence there. And see, in Braj now, there is a lot of sound pollution by the loudspeakers. And I may tell my mind 100 times, don't listen to these loudspeakers which just blare in your ears. The mind has no choice. It follows the newest Hindi music, you know, when it's played by the loudspeakers. So spiritual sound vibration will also bring the mind to a spiritual, and it has no force. It can't ignore it. Once Prabhupada said to one devotee how the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra works on the mind. He said, he put some water on the table and said, drip, 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 and the water will wash away the glass eventually. So when you expose your mind to spiritual sound vibration, drip, 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 it will wash away the maya. It works really like that. Just like in a negative way, sound vibration from loudspeakers vibrate your mind and do something with it. The power of spiritual sound vibration will, even if the mind doesn't accept it, the vibration will slowly, slowly, slowly work on it. But of course it's better if the mind accepts it, then it's faster. So I want to summarize my answer to your question. First of all, this power of spiritual reality, a spiritual sound vibration, is so strong that even an unwilling mind, an atheistic mind, a demoniacally misled mind, can be purified by the constant and regular application of the spiritual sound vibration. And second of all, if you wish to bring your mind to accept Krishna consciousness, learn to present Krishna consciousness in an attractive way, and it will go very, very fast for you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Maharaj, my question is, you said that you get angry, you...
I can't... Who where are you? Aha, yes. Now I can see you. Yes, please.
Anger creates poison in your body.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to get angry to get your work done. So how do you go about it?
Yes, there are times when we have in the practical world, say, too many rupees you are asking. Too much. And we become angry. But we should learn the art of not becoming influenced by it. To work with anger is for some of us a necessity to survive, but it should be a show of anger. You know, the anger should go up till here, but not down into the heart. There was once a snake who became a disciple of Narada Muni, and then after 2 weeks, the snake came crawling to Narada Muni and said, I have to give up my discipleship, my shishya to Dom. I cannot continue because the boys in the village take me. They know I will not harm them any longer. And they whirl me around and they beat me on the ground. I have to leave you, my dear saint. Narada Muni said, no. At such a time, you can show your hood. Do you know what it means to show one's, to show the hood when the snake comes up and goes like, ah. But you shouldn't bite. Shouldn't bite. So when we, even I, when I go on the rickshaw and the rickshaw driver tries to cheat me, I have to make a show. Not good. Cheating. Thief. Beast Rubia. Bus. And then he said, okay, Swamiji, okay, Swamiji, you know. And then I smile, Hare Krishna. So, you understand? Make a show of anger when it's necessary, but don't become influenced by it.
Swamiji, I don't have a question. I bring greetings to you from Durban, South Africa.
How nice. Oh yes, I remember our member of parliament. We are very honored.
Very interesting to listen to you and be at your holy feet.
Hare Krishna, yes, I do remember you. I don't know if you know, in Durban we have this Ratha Yatra. How many people? 500,000, isn't it? It's really a festival of South Africa. 500,000 people come to the Durban Ratha Yatra. Here's your Sachi Devi from South Africa is also here on the cushion. Nice to see you. Yes, Prabhuji, your good name?
Hanuman.
Hanumanji.
Swami, in Delhi, the people come to a temple, and when you go to meet them,
they say, from ISKCON, I gave you 5 minutes. Tell me about ISKCON in 5 minutes only. So what can you tell them only in 5 minutes or until you're attacked? Hare Krishna. What can you tell about ISKCON in 5 minutes? Would you like me to make a try? Hare Krishna. I will try in 2 minutes. One moment. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a worldwide movement of Krishna Bhakti. It has been started by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami in the Western world. This has come back to India, but it is as old as the Vedas. There are three basic points which you need to understand when you want to understand ISKCON. This was now 35 seconds. We will continue. The first thing is the philosophy. We are all eternal souls, part and parcel of Krishna. We believe in this, and we therefore act in our life in what we call Krishna consciousness. That means we offer our food, we do our work as service for Him. The second thing you need to understand in ISKCON is that we have created a net of worldwide temples all over the world, where we wish people to come and see and worship Lord Krishna. And the third point which you need to understand about ISKCON is that we believe our duty in life is to help people to purify their consciousness. People talk about the contamination of the environment. We have now 20 seconds left. They talk about aggression which comes. From where is all this contamination and pollution in the environment and in the human relations coming? 2 more seconds. It is coming from the pollution of consciousness. So we believe in cleaning consciousness. Therefore, we are Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I tried my best. isolate some principles of Krishna consciousness, in other words, and present these. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is a Kandala Sisman. Maharaj, I have one question regarding the first thing which you mentioned in today's lecture about sun, that is chanting. You also mentioned that when one chants, sometimes this poisonous thoughts or poison comes. Now, Maharaj, how does one differentiate or understand very clearly whether this poison is the cleansing of the poison or is it dwelling on the absence of it?
What a wonderful question. How can we clearly understand if the poison which comes or the bad thoughts which come are the cleansing of our heart and therefore dirt comes out, or it's just the dwelling of the sense objects? This is very, very difficult to distinguish. I would say it's not very practical in spiritual life to dwell very much on this subject matter. When you chant or when you practice spiritual life, bring your mind away from negativity. Just bring it away and bring it to Krishna in the form of His holy name or in the form of the transcendental subject matter which you listen to. And let this holy name or the transcendental subject matter cleanse you. To distinguish, is it something which comes out like Kaliya's poison which came out when Krishna dances? Or is it dwelling on the sense objects? It's not so important, because whenever you engage your mind with poison, either it's poison from within or poison from without, your mind will get poisoned. You should learn the simple art which Krishna tells us in the Gita, yata yata nishalati. Wherever the mind goes, either to inner poison or outer poison, you should bring it back and bring it back under the control of the self. My dear devotees, I'm practicing this in my life since quite some time, that whenever my mind goes to material things, I just bring it back. I start my day usually with a practice where I meditate about the fact that I'm an eternal soul. That's the first positive spiritual practice. I'm an eternal soul, a part of Krishna. The second thing which I meditate about is that everything which happens, happens under Krishna's control. Then I'm losing my anxiety and become very satisfied with everything. Nothing can happen without Krishna's control. And the third thing is, I meditate how Krishna is my best friend. These are positive ways to direct the mind. But since you seem to be an analytical devotee, poison from within has mostly to do with anxieties. It has mostly to do with thinking bad about others. And poison from without is being disturbed by others. But how to distinguish? You want to know. Inner poison. Well, just ask, where is your mind staying? Is your mind dwelling on poison from within, like things which happened in the past, or you know, interpretations of reality or bad feelings towards others? Or is it just out there somewhere on the market, on the New Delhi market, on one's shoes and Honda motor bicycles and lipsticks and deodorants, you know, like that? Hare Krishna. I will think more about your question.
Can I ask you the last question, Maharaj?
Yes. Vidura Priya, the husband of Madhava Mangal.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to beat up the mind in the morning with 100 times as a stick and in the night 100 times as a shoes to control it. How do we do that exactly?
To beat the mind with the stick means to say, no, I don't do this any longer, my dear mind. And to beat it with shoes means to bring the regulative principles. No eating of, you know, whatever. We don't eat illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. Another way, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when he gave an explanation of what it means to discipline the mind, he repeated the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which maybe we have. Do you have your song with you? There is a song. I found it in one songbook, which is very, very nice. It's here. Amara jivan sada papirata nahika punyera lesh palera utvega diache yekata diache jivera klesh. You say to your mind, throughout my whole life, I have been addicted to sin, never performing any pious activities. I have simply been a source of disturbance and suffering for others. For my own pleasure, I never feared to commit any sin. Does this sound familiar to you? I am devoid of pity and full of selfishness. Is this something familiar? I'm sorry at others' happiness. Oh, why are they so happy? And I'm constantly lying to others. Indeed, I take delight in other miseries. Really? Really? This happens to them? Happened to them? Endless are the selfish desires in my heart. This is for my profit. This is for my profit. I am prone to anger and devoted to arrogance. And it continues like this, Vidura Priyaji. Afflicted by laziness and sleep, I don't like any pious activities. I like to do those things which are good for my own glories. and so on. And finally, he says, I am rejected by saintly persons. I have become a repeated offender. Now in old age, I am rendered helpless. I present my sad case before your holy feet, my Lord. This means to give the stick to your mind, to be a little realistic, to discipline the mind, to tell him, become better. Hare Krishna. I've come to the end of this presentation. I hope it was relevant, at least at some places for you. We have brought a present for you. We have brought Mahaprasad from Vrindavan. And it is our desire to distribute it. So I will request Gaurahari, who loves sweets very much, to practice selflessness, he will be standing at the exit, and as you exit out of the door, Gaurahari will give you what ordinarily he would have eaten. Is it all right, Gaurahari? It's all right. Good. Let me thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go, Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo.
So Maharaj, on behalf of Delhi Temple devotees, we'd like to invite you again and again. Pretty soon, please come and stay for more time with this one evening and give a small association. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.